In the past, a local authority could have bought 500 units of something and there's not really much aftercare. Whereas now, the advent of these SaaS platforms, and we're going to see this huge shift where there is that feedback loop and local authorities are continually letting these providers know, this is great, but we want more of this. And that's how products will now develop in the future.
Hello everyone, and welcome back to Caring for the Future. I'm Alex Fulcher, the marketing exec here at 2IC Care and newbie in the tech sector. Today, we're diving into the transformative power of partnerships in the health and social care sector. Unfortunately, my co-host Holly is unable to join us today, but I'm very excited to introduce our special guest, Grace Thompson, our Head of Marketing and Partnerships here at 2IC Care. Grace's journey into the realm of partnerships began with her time at Released Property Software. She progressed there from an intern to the Director of North American Partnerships. And she played a pivotal role in enabling a network of trusted partners to provide transformative software and industry expertise to their real estate clients. Her passion for fostering collaborative relationships then led her to serve as the Senior Partnerships Manager at Payfit UK, Europe's leading cloud-based software and HR software provider. She worked closely with a diverse community of partners to deliver an integrated solution. Now, as the Head of Partnerships and Marketing at 2IC Care, Grace is at the forefront of driving proactive and preventative care through advanced device-to-device interoperability. Grace's dedication to building strategic partnerships stems from her belief in the power of collaboration and innovation. She understands the importance of aligning with partners who share a common vision of revolutionising the care sector and improving the lives of individuals. So without further ado, let's dive into today's conversation with Grace Thompson as we explore the transformative potential of partnerships in the health and social care sector. Grace, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me, Alex. And it's so weird to hear like your whole life, not my whole life, but a lot of my professional life just like recounted back to me. So yeah, no, really great to be here. Thank you.
That's all right. So we're going to dig in and we're just going to get started with a little bit about you and a little bit about partnerships in general.
Sure.
So on one of our previous episodes, we were talking about why people care about technology-enabled care. Mm. So we'd love to hear a bit more about why you joined 2IC Care and what you've learned.
Yeah, sure. So when I first learned about the company, it was really interesting to me because my mum had worked in the NHS for 37 years, so I'd seen firsthand how our health and our care institutions basically are so reliant upon the individual effort by people. And I'd seen how there were lots of challenges facing that. And obviously that's predominantly focused on the health side. But as soon as I started to kind of dig into the challenges facing care, I saw that there was just so much that could be done. And I saw that it was a sector that was really underserved by technology. And obviously, having had a background always working in SaaS businesses and really believing in the transformative power of technology, I just saw a really clear path forward. And that's why I was really excited to join the team, because I think that there's just so much that we can do to improve health and care outcomes with technology. And yeah, that's why I joined 2IC Care.
Great. Well, I think we love having you. So, and I'd love to know a little bit more about sort of the differences that you've seen in the private sector partnerships that you've been part of. Mm. And obviously the partnerships in the health and care sector, because it's a quite different industry, I can imagine.
Well, yeah, I think the key difference, obviously, in the health and care space is that it's so much more focused on people.
Yeah.
And really putting people at the center of those partnerships and really trying to build partnerships that improve people's lives. And I'm not saying that in the private sector that's not the case, but I definitely found I was building a lot of partnerships to help to increase revenue or to increase business efficiency. And although they're super worthwhile and really important, it's really nice to now be in a space where the partnerships that I'm building are ones that that have the intention basically to help people to improve their daily lives.
Yeah, I mean, that's quite a powerful thing, isn't it? Like, you're really, really changing people's lives with the sort of things that we're doing. So I think it's quite exciting, I suppose.
Yeah, it's just really motivating, I think, because I think I've always been pretty motivated work-wise, and I've always kind of been really enjoyed everything that I've done. But coming to work and feeling like what I was doing each day was like much bigger than me and served people outside of myself and my own like small self-interest, I think, yeah, that's really, really motivating.
And hearing those stories as well about the impact of what we're doing.
Yeah, totally.
I think that's definitely an impact. That's definitely one I've found anyway so far in my time with you guys. So I'd love to know a little bit more about how you approach partnerships to sort of ensure that both parties get what they're looking from, like where they're getting the value with the collaboration. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, so I think that any good partnership starts with spending a good amount of time really understanding either if it's a business, like what that business does and how they add value. And obviously, you know your own value, but understanding each other's strengths and weaknesses and really figuring out if you can complement each other and kind of make each other better and add value to what the other party is doing. So I think the key point is really spending the time to not just jump in straight away and think, oh, this is potentially exciting, but actually analyze it, dissect it. Is there mutual value here? And then the second point is through that process, you'll kind of get a feeling as to whether this other business or this other party is as invested as working in a partnership as you are. So obviously I've always worked in partnerships. I really like partnerships. I think they're a great way to improve your own services, improve your own business, improve the outcomes that you're delivering to people. But not everybody shares that view, and that's fine. But if you have a misalignment in terms of your commitment to partnering, it's probably never going to get off the ground. So finding a way to validate that business or that person's approach and how receptive they are to partnering in the first place is a really critical step. So making sure that there is fundamental alignment and a mutual value there and gaps that you can each fill, and then making sure that there's like a cultural commitment. They're the kind of two key things I would say.
And I suppose a cultural fit as well is quite important.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. You work well with people that you like.
Yeah.
So if you don't really get on with them or, yeah, there's not really that cultural fit, then it will be more challenging to get it off the ground. You know, the most successful partnerships I've always been in have been ones where, yeah, we've kind of clicked in that way. And it doesn't mean you have to all be cut from the same cloth and be, you know, the same type of person. You could even have really different views and wants and ambitions, but as long as you are aligned.
And now for Holly's Tech Hero of the Week.
Okay, so even though Holly is not able to join us today, she still did send me along with her Tech Hero of the Day. So this one's a bit funny because it's two people from a company that we all have heard a lot from, and from NASA. So in October 2021, NASA flight surgeon Dr. Joseph Schmid and industry partner AEXA Aerospace CEO Fernando de la Peña Lelaca, and I hope I've said that right, and their teams were the first humans holoported from Earth into space.
What is holoported?
Holoportation is sort of a type of capture technology which allows 3D models of people to
like
be
holograms.
Shown. Yeah, essentially.
Right, okay.
I don't know. I think they're calling it holoportation because...
Holoportation?
It's... cool. I don't know why, but it's live, so it's not recorded. I guess holograms often are recorded previously. So think of a Zoom call, but you're actually think of ABBA Voyage but space. So you can kind of combine it with like lots of different mixed realities, and you're probably all thinking, what does this have to do with the sector? But they're quite excited about this because you know, they're going to use it now for private medical conferences, private psychiatric conferences, and private family conferences as well for the astronauts. So it's really exciting, and also can be used in terms of places where connectivity isn't great. And I think that, you know, as they use this technology, I mean, you can imagine for the health and care sector, it could have a huge impact for when you want to speak to medical practitioners but necessarily can't make the journey to see them, and you know, we don't necessarily always have the resources to go out and visit everyone. So that's why Holly chose these two, Joseph Schmid and Fernando de la Peña Lelaca from NASA, to be the Tech Heroes of the Week.
That's super interesting. I feel like we're a long way from us being able to use that though. It's like, I thought, let's just get analog to digital done, and then we'll talk about hologramming in people to help care for people. That's like,
holoportation.
Holoportation. Yeah, the holoportation deadline, 2030.
That will be the next thing. I'm sure it will be. We'll be hearing about it soon. You heard it here first.
Yeah.
I'd be really interested to know a little bit about your views on sort of communication between partnerships, because obviously it's quite a complex one, and I think a lot of people have different views on it. So I'd love to know a little bit more about what your views are with partnerships that you've worked in previously and in with this sector as well.
Yeah, well, I think the key is just open and transparent communication. So that's something that's really important to me. I mean, it helps if you need to have like NDAs in place and things like that, because then you can speak much more candidly about where each of your businesses are going and figuring out, you know, to my point earlier, of where do you find that mutual value? If you can be open and transparent about maybe where your shortcomings are as a business and where their strengths are, then it will help you to find that. So I think going in with kind of openness and a collaborative mindset and that trust and that transparency, that's when you're going to build that really strong foundation. And it's also about communicating not just with the people within the organization that you're building the partnership with, but also the people around them. A successful partnership will be embedded across both teams. So that means me going back to my team and saying, this is what we're doing with them, this is why it makes sense, you know, this is how this impacts your individual roles, and then having someone on the other side do that within their business, so that both businesses, it's not just myself as a partnerships lead and one other person within their business trying to make this happen, it's actually kind of the two businesses coming together. So finding opportunities to bring together the two teams and educate and communicate is key. But that basis of transparency and openness is essential.
Yeah, I can imagine. And I suppose you've touched on this a little bit already, but I suppose the primary benefits of partnerships and sort of driving the impact and growth that you have together, just sort of the key points, the sort of key notes from your ideas around that.
Yeah, so I think it's about realizing that there's no one size fits all, you know, particularly if we're looking at the health and care space. Yeah. You know, we're a technology provider. That means that we are experts in providing technology and building that technology, improving that technology. But that doesn't mean that we're experts. We're not OTs or we're not tech installers. So where can we work with other people who are specialists in those categories to make sure that we are always delivering the best overall service for each of our customers and each of the people that we work with?
So kind of what are the specific things that you look for, specific elements of a really successful partnership specifically within this sector?
Yeah, so I suppose for me in this sector, they come in a few different categories. So there's, you know, from our side, as being a technology product that integrates with other products, there's those kind of device integration partnerships, and they're really exciting because they can offer something new to the market that's literally never existed before. So you know, combining this bit of data with that bit of data, what does that bring together and tell us, what impact can that have? So that's sort of one category. And then I'd say a separate category would be more around the services. So who is best placed to help health services, care services, local authorities to leverage technology? So how can we partner with those people to help them to deliver their services better, but also help their customers to use the best technology? So I hope that answers your question, but I think it's that there are different types of partnerships in this sector, which each contribute to the overall improvement and refinement of what we can do. And to make sure that you can build a really successful partnership in the health and care space, to be honest, in every sector, but I think specifically for this sector where there is such a strain on people's time and resource and, you know, there never seems to be time for anything, you have to make sure that yourself and the partner, the business that you're partnering with or the organization that you're partnering with is happy to carve out time to invest in training their teams, you know, educating people around what the partnership is, what it's doing, what it's aiming to achieve, because a partnership by nature, because it's two different things coming together, is probably going to be the start of something quite new. So if you can, in order to make that successful, in order to give that the potential that it has to grow, you need to make sure that you have all the people within the two companies sort of upskilled on what the value of it is. So in order to be successful, I think you definitely need to find time to educate and enable the team. That enablement piece is essentially the foundation of culture change.
Yeah. I mean, definitely. I mean, they already looked, I know that Richard already spoke a little bit about culture change in one of the previous episodes, and I found it a really interesting insight into the sector. Obviously, being new to the sector, it was really fascinating, and if you haven't listened to it, I would recommend listening to it.
This is Alex's Analog to Digital Deadline.
So each week I will be doing an A to D countdown until the 31st of December 2025. And this week I chose emails because it very much inspired by our guest, because Grace, being head of partnerships and marketing at 2IC Care, she does send rather a lot of emails. So the average emails sent and received every minute is actually 149,513
globally. Okay, good pub quiz question.
Yes, yeah, try and remember that. Try and remember this even more. So I figured out how many emails are going to be sent from
between now and the A to D deadline.
Yes.
Okay, go.
Between the air date of this episode and until the A to D deadline, which is, okay, ready, 139,513,575,560 emails sent and received before the H2 deadline.
That's a lot of typing.
It is a lot of emails. But there you go. There's the H2 countdown for you. So it sounds far away with that many emails, but think how many emails you send and receive every day, and it's really not that many.
Yeah.
So it's approaching and fast. So make sure you get yourself prepared. Grace, it'd be great to know a little bit about how technology-enabled care suppliers and local authorities, you know, how do they benefit each other?
Yeah, I love this question because so all I know is SaaS. So SaaS, for anyone who doesn't know, is software as a service. That's my background, as you heard in the intro, and that's what we're trying to do here, and not just us, but other sort of subscription like software platforms in the space. So I think that the kind of advent of SaaS products into particularly the local authority care space could present basically a huge shift in how local authorities interact with their technology-enabled care suppliers because of the recurring software subscription required from a local authority to a SaaS technology-enabled care provider. It is imperative that the technology suppliers keep showing and evidencing value to the local authorities. You know, in the past, a local authority could have bought 500 units of something, it's hardware, from a tech supplier, sign on the dotted line, they get delivered, and there's not really much aftercare or much investment from the technology supplier in how that product is performing, you know, how happy that person, that local authority is with what they've delivered. Whereas now, the advent of these SaaS platforms and that kind of continuous feedback loop that provides between local authority tech services and the tech suppliers themselves, we're going to see this huge shift where there is, as I say, that sort of feedback loop, and local authorities are continually letting these providers know, this is great, but we want more of this, we want that to change. And that's how products will now develop in the future. And that's how local authorities, and particularly these large tech services within local authorities, will have a huge influence on how the technology itself is built in the future. And that's because from a technology provider perspective, if you are charging someone a monthly or annual software subscription, then you are always going to stay in touch with them. And that means you have much more time sort of being customer facing and receiving that feedback, and you're much more incentivized to keep that customer happy and to keep them coming back to you, keep them on the platform. So really going forward, it won't be a customer seller relationship. It won't be transactional. It will be really collaborative. And and I think that will change a lot in the sector. And they will feel a lot more like partnerships than supplier relationships.
Yeah, I was going to say that when you said that at the end, that it is moving towards, everything seems to be more of a partnership now, which is, it, you know, not just in this sector, but it seems like subscription services and things, that those are building community bases for you to have that relationship and that open conversation with the suppliers. So it's a really interesting transition.
And I think it's a good thing, right? Because, you know, as, you know, us as technology suppliers, you know, we have experts from the industry feeding into how our product should be. But if someone's using it every single day and they realize, actually, it would be great if this bit was just a bit more like that, or let's improve this little section and make it a little easier, it's actually great for our product teams to get that feedback and be able to improve the product, because, you know, for us as a business, that's going to make our product stronger. It's going to be enable us to sell more product and get more people using it. But it also means that, so I think a partnership approach to that relationship with between tech suppliers and particularly in this case local authorities would be really welcomed and is what the sector needs.
Thank you for joining me for this conversation. I know you're very, very busy.
No, thanks so much for having me. It's really interesting. Yeah, I'm very passionate about partnerships and I do believe that it really can change the space. So yeah, love to chat about it.
And if you want to speak to Grace about it more, feel free to send her. She's going to kill me for saying that, but feel free to send her an email.
Find me on LinkedIn.
Or yeah, find her on LinkedIn. She's always on there. So definitely connect and see kind of what we can do. And even if you just want to chat about partnerships, I'm sure I say she is going to kill me for saying that. But no, you're so knowledgeable about this sector, and I think, and especially with partnerships and how they're really already starting to transform what we do every day. So it's a really exciting thing. So, well, that brings us to the end of today's episode. I'd love to say thank you very much to Grace for joining me today, and for sharing her insights into the transformation potential of partnerships within this sector. And I think it shed light on the importance of collaboration with like driving positive change and improving care services for all, which, as we said, you know, that's the most important thing. To everyone that's listening, thank you so much for joining us. And remember that partnerships aren't always about what we can gain individually, but also what we can achieve together, which is a really nice sentiment, I think. So until next time, take care.